Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I'd like to invite you to join me for a pilgrimage tour to France this September. It's based on my book, St. Benedict and St. Therese, The Little Rule and the Little Way. I'll be teaching about the spiritualities and the lives of these two great saints, and we'll be visiting the great monastery of Fleury, where St. Benedict's relics are venerated, and of course going to Lisieux to visit the childhood home of St. Therese, the Carmel where she was a nun, and the great basilica dedicated to her honor. But there's more than that. At Paris, we'll be visiting the Basilica of Sacré-Cœur, Rue de Bac with the Miraculous Medal, going on to Vézelay, Nevers with St. Bernadette, Paray-le-Monial, where the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus was given to St. Margaret Mary, and then Chartres Cathedral, Mont-Saint-Michel, the Normandy beaches, and more. I think there's not only going to be time for instruction and learning, but also prayer and worship, celebrating Mass in the various locations, and also time for fellowship and a good bit of French food and wine, too. Come and join us this September. If you'd like to know more, go to CatholicHeritageTours.com. That's CatholicHeritageTours.com, or be in touch with me through my website, DwightLongenecker.com.
Fellowship and love.
Welcome, and thanks for downloading our podcast. The name of the show is Manage Your Money God's Way. We're from Compass Catholic Ministries, where we're going to show you how to remove any and all debt that you've accumulated, no matter how small, no matter how large the debt may be. We use biblical principles to show you how God intends for all of us to be handling money. So there's no secrets to what we teach. Everything that we teach, everything you need to know, is right there in the Bible. And we're going to point out those principles. We even have practical applications that we will ask you to follow in order to rid yourself of that debt. And you know what the best part is? Once you become debt-free, we're going to show you how to live a debt-free life. My name is Steve Holbrook, and I'm joined by the co-founders of Compass Catholic, John and Evelyn Bean. Well, today's topic is all about Christmas. Yeah, I know the calendar says June. But to be honest with you, now is the time to start planning your budget and saving. Don't get caught financially unprepared for Christmas spending. No need to go into debt, right, John?
Yeah, if you start planning your budget now for the holiday, for presents and all that, then you'll be prepared when you get to Christmas. Actually, the best way to do it, when we were already 6 months late, was to have started in January. Americans are going to whip out that plastic at Christmas, and they're going to finance all of their Christmas spending. You know, there's a survey from Magnify Money that said that 44% of all shoppers racked up more than $1,000 of holiday debt, and 5% accumulated over $5,000. Paying off those kinds of balances can take months, and in some cases, even years.
I can't imagine spending $5,000 on Christmas. What do those people buy?
I don't know. But half the people surveyed said they expected to repay the debt within 3 months. And that's pretty aggressive. That's a good thing. You know, you need to be aggressive on that. But a third said they were going to need more than 5 months to pay it off. And, you know, that leads to adding on interest on the credit card and charges and, you know, all that kind of stuff. In fact, 10% of the people who took on holiday debt said they would only be able to make the minimum payments on their credit cards. That just totally amazes me. If they know they don't have enough money to pay for Christmas and they don't save up for Christmas beforehand, why do they think it's going to be any easier after they've already spent the money?
Well, let's go through an example of what that would look like. Let's say somebody spends about $1,000 on Christmas, and they pay a minimum of $25 each month. That sounds about right, right? 2.5%
yeah.
$1,000?
Yeah, yeah.
So how long is it going to take to pay off that Christmas balance?
It will take about 5 years.
5 years for Christmas. So, and then there's a Christmas every year. So every year you're adding another year onto the end of that 5 years, right?
Yep.
No, actually you're adding more, because every year you're going to up the amount you have charged.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's just a downward death spiral financially.
Well, and not only that, but the fees on those debts, you know, the interest charges and all that.
Uh-huh.
If it's going to take you 5 years, you're going to spend probably $500 at least minimum in interest charges.
So it's easy to understand why the number one fear of people during Christmas is debt. And people do it to themselves. That's what doesn't make any sense. I mean, if people get into trouble when they pay taxes or if there's a hospital bill or an emergency, that's semi-understandable. But Christmas presents are optional. There's no law that requires us to overspend at Christmas. It's a choice people make.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. I have not seen a law that said you have to charge Christmas presents and get into debt for Christmas.
I thought that was at the top of Santa's list.
I don't think so.
It doesn't count unless you go into debt for it.
No, that's not a good idea. I mean, think about it. Do you think that's what God had in mind when we celebrate the birth of Jesus? To take on debt and then take years to pay it off? I don't think so.
Yeah, that's why we're talking about Christmas now in the summer, because we need to think about it now. We need to get prepared. We're 6 months into the year, and, you know, it's late, but it's not too late to start saving to be able to avoid that Christmas debt. We got 5 months to build up that Christmas nest egg.
Now, you know what I can hear? I can hear our listeners thinking, I can't afford to save up for Christmas. Then I don't have enough money to save up for Christmas.
Then they should skip Christmas this year.
Well, the question is, if you can't afford to save up beforehand, what makes you think you can afford to pay off the debt afterwards, right?
Yeah, the people get into debt simply because they're not planning ahead. You know, if they haven't saved or given thought to how they're going to creatively reduce their Christmas costs, then they're going to go into debt. So now's the time to really establish a budget about how you're going to spend for Christmas and start putting some money aside. And if you haven't already developed a budget, a spending plan for Christmas, there's no time like today to make it happen.
So this is along the same line as a vacation.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
You're setting aside some money each and every month for Christmas gifts.
Yes.
Christmas food, whatever, travel.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, the other thing you can do is to think ahead on the things you buy for Christmas. For example, if you're buying paper products, there's red napkins that get sold at Valentine's Day. There's red napkins that get sold at 4th of July. So if you're on the lookout for things like that throughout the year, you can often get it on clearance sales and then just put it aside for Christmas. The key is, if you put it aside, you need to remember where you put it aside.
Okay, so I don't know how much I should budget. So help me with that. What should I put away? Should I put $10 away a month, $20?
Well, how much did you spend last year?
I can't remember.
Well, I imagine you have plenty of charges that you could go back into your statements
look at the statements
and see how much you spent. And, you know, really what you're, you know, we've been calling this a budget. But in reality, what you're doing is you're creating a Christmas spending plan. How much money you're going to spend. I'm going to spend this much on gifts. I'm going to spend this much on food. I'm going to spend this much on paper products or travel expenses or, you know, whatever your categories are. It's a spending plan. It's not a budget. Don't let the feeling of constraint overwhelm you into doing nothing whatsoever. You know, you're just creating a spending plan. If you can convince yourself of that.
Reorient your mind.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, I think having that spending plan not only helps you avoid the last minute rush to buy presents, but it avoids that January feeling when all of those bills start coming in on the credit cards and you're wondering, how am I going to pay this off?
Oh my Lord, what did I do?
What did I do? I had a good Christmas and now it's January. Ruh-roh.
So what's really important at Christmas is the gift of God made man. Not all the toys and the clothes and the electronics that we buy for each other. It's important to have special times with the family, and we encourage you to avoid debt to fund those special times. You know, that doesn't matter or pertain just to Christmas. That goes all year long. You need to plan and budget for birthdays and anniversaries and all the other holidays and special occasions that we have during the year. You know, and the truth be told, Evelyn and I don't buy each other gifts at Christmas time or for birthdays or for pretty much anything else.
What a Scrooge you are.
Wow. Is that one way of not having to worry about a spending plan?
It works. Trust me.
It actually may have started that way. No, but I mean, it works for us on a lot of different levels. And the reason we don't buy gifts for each other, they're very practical, and that has nothing to do with how much we love each other or how strong our marriage is. In our life, it's more important for us to go places and have experiences instead of gathering together more stuff. And the best part about experiences is we can enjoy them together.
It's pretty hard to wear a sweater together.
But at this point, our ability to travel to us is much more important than simply having more stuff or buying more stuff, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because we already have more than enough stuff.
We do. We do.
So there's probably stuff we would like to have, but do we really need to have anything more?
Sounds like needs and versus wants
there
to me, Steve.
And neither one of us really needs anything, so why should we rack our brain trying to think of something to buy that he's not going to either like, use, or want?
I've taken so many things of clothing back, it's a disaster. We give to each other all year long, and you know, birthdays and holidays are a reason to celebrate. We'd much rather celebrate by inviting friends over for dinner, or you know, instead of spending hundreds of dollars on something that we really don't need. And at the end of the day, we have a strong marriage and a good relationship, and we don't need a holiday to remind us of how important we are to one another. And we don't need to spend money to prove our love.
Yeah, it always amazes me how people go overboard on Valentine's Day with all this love stuff, and then they're mean to each other the rest of the year. You know, that just doesn't make any sense. You don't need a special day to show your partner, your spouse, that you love them.
Today's topic is saving for Christmas, even though we are 6 months out. Again, for those who haven't started already saving for Christmas, pay attention. Our goal is to prevent you from going into debt. We're going to show you how to put together a Christmas spending plan and how to save that money. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries. Check out our website and read Evelyn's blog on saving for Christmas. Just go to compasscatholic.org and click on blogs. John, you and Evelyn were sharing why you don't buy each other gifts at Christmas time. And it's not because you're a Scrooge, but it's more because you give to each other throughout the year. But you do have other reasons that our listeners can get ideas from.
We have a limited amount of money. You know, we're on a fixed income. The fixed income is really quite generous, to be perfectly honest with you, so we could buy gifts if we wanted to. But that's just not on our priority list. The higher priorities we have are giving to causes we care about, and we do give away reasonable amounts. We do personal travel and vacations with our family, and we try to make sure that we have a secure future. You know, the more that we can avoid spending on non-essentials, the more cash we have left to fund the goals that are more important to us. So we're always looking for ways to reduce costs.
Yes.
You know, we don't have a landline telephone anymore. We don't have cable TV anymore. Those were cost reductions that we made intentionally to reduce the amount of money we spend every month.
So the problem I see with all this Christmas overspending is that people are putting goals at risk by spending money buying gifts people don't need or want. And they're not thinking about those higher priorities. But once you determine those higher priorities, then you can easily come up with a financial plan for the Christmas holidays because you've got your priorities straight.
So when you're planning for Christmas, I think it's also best to understand what your plan is for the rest of the year, to have that spending plan laid out in month by month by month kind of fashion so that you know what expenses you're going to have and that you have the money set aside for them. But you have to make sure, especially, you know, for Christmases, or this applies to vacations too, but, you know, you want to make sure you have all the costs included, the travel, the parties, the special meals, gifts, decorations. You know, it goes on and on and on. And you divide the cost by the number of paydays until Christmas, and that will tell you how much you have to save in each paycheck to have a debt-free Christmas. So if you've got 5 months left in the year and you get paid twice a month, that means you got 10 paychecks. And if you're going to spend $1,000, that means for each paycheck, you got to save $100.
Or you run up the debt, and for each paycheck, you pay more than $100 because you're paying interest, right? You know, another way to cut the cost if things are really tight, as a family, decide to cut down on the number of gifts you're going to give until your finances are in better shape. Instead of trying to buy gifts for the whole family, maybe you decide to draw names and each person buys a present for one other person. And now, before Christmas is right upon us, is the time to have those discussions with your aunts and uncles and cousins and friends and children, and have them know that you're cutting back on Christmas spending, and they're probably going to be as relieved as you are. But it's good to do that ahead of time, not at the last minute.
I love that idea. Do you put a limit on how much the gift, so everybody's on the same page?
I would, yeah.
So you put a limit on how much money you can spend. Yep. See, that also takes the stress off and to worry about, I really don't want to buy for Aunt Mary, but I feel obligated to because I'm buying for Aunt Sue.
And Aunt Mary has 50 things, and all she wants is the same 50 things all over again. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
And if you put a limit on it, then you don't have a situation where somebody might give you a very expensive jewelry box, and you only bought them a record.
Right.
You know.
But it was a nice record.
He's referring to something that happened to us in college, because he gave me a nice jewelry box and I gave him a Flip Wilson album.
Okay.
And I have been hearing about that for the last 48 years.
But look at it this way, John, that Flip Wilson album is a collector's item today.
Yeah. If you kept it, it would have been worth more than the jewelry box.
Never take I think you threw it out.
You never take it out of the sleeve of the jacket, man.
The devil made me do it. Nobody's listening.
Well, I was just going to say,
right over everybody's head, Evelyn.
If you're listening and don't understand, just Google, "The devil made me do it."
You know, the one thing I like about our group of friends is that we've been friends with these people for 30 years, and they're the kind of people that we can call in the middle of the night, and they're going to be at our front door in minutes with absolutely no questions asked. And nobody buys each other Christmas gifts. And that's good, because
I want to talk to you about that.
We're all kind of like-minded, where we know we love each other, and we don't have to buy stuff to show each other that we care about you and we love you and we want you as part of our life. So,
well, and the aspect of using gifts in some way to prove our friendship is just, you know,
a
it's meaningless.
Point. A good point.
You know, it's not necessary. Let's be realistic. Many of the gifts given are not used by the person who receives them. You know, they're tossed aside, they're not used, or they're returned for something else. Maybe they're donated to a nonprofit organization, or so. If the present isn't meaningful to the person who receives it, of what value is it really?
Well, and the other thing is, some families go so overboard on children's presents that once the child gets to the third gift, it's just overkill. It's so much that they can't even comprehend on, you know, what they have, and they don't appreciate it because there's so much there that they're just in a quest for more and more. And we had one mom in our parish share with us their gift-giving process. And each child gets 5 presents. They get something to wear, something to share, something to read, something they need, and something they want. So that kind of boxes in what that family does for Christmas, and it's a way to control the spending, and it's a way to give kids both needs and wants.
Actually, that's not a bad little formula.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, it is a good formula, and it keeps things real.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the important thing.
The other thing I think is important about that is something to share, because this family has 5 kids, so if each child is getting something to share with their brothers and sisters, that kind of sets up the expectation that we're all in this together, and it's not my toys. You know?
Yeah, it could be like games for family nights, or, you know, something like that. That's kind of a neat thing. you know, when you're doing that, it really helps you to establish the boundaries of your budget, of your spending plan. And I think that is really important.
Well, and the more you start early when the children are young with this over-the-top giving, the more they expect it from year to year to year. And I know my parents never went overboard at Christmas. Did yours?
For the most part, no. We always got three or four things. Money was never an issue in our family, but I don't think we ever had bundles and bundles of it. We would get three or four presents, and then we'd get something from Santa Claus and something from, you know, an aunts and uncles and stuff like that. But that was pretty much it.
What about your family, Steve?
No, having a twin brother, so we had the same. If my parents bought, I remember one Christmas, they bought a tractor trailer. I got the front end, he got the back end. share that.
Yeah. That's something to share.
Or they would buy a dump truck and another piece of construction truck. And so we would share.
Yeah.
All the toys that we had were sharing.
I think with us, the most important thing about Christmas presents was how you could wrap them so that nobody would know what they were.
Yes, we still do that.
Put everything in a box?
No.
Like you wrap a shirt in a box that says it's a radio.
Oh, okay. So when you open it.
When you take off the wrapping paper, it looks like a radio box, but when you open it.
Or you use the rolls that the wrapping paper comes on, right. You know, and you put stuff, shove stuff in there. Or
you put rocks in the box, and when they shake it, it sounds like there's rocks in it. The other thing we've done with our grandsons, and they have a tendency to have fun with this, is play 20 questions.
Okay.
So we'll give them 20 questions so they can guess. Like one year we did a...
guess where it is.
Yeah.
You know, they don't even see the present.
We took them to Legoland, and they had clues, and they could ask 20 questions about trying to figure out where it was.
So their present was a trip to Legoland.
Yeah.
I love that.
I remember my mom, when she was growing up, she grew up in the Depression. And when they had their Santa presents, they each got one present. And my mom got a doll. Her big brother got a saw. So the next day, the doll was headless.
Well, maybe he was working to be Houdini.
She told that story every Christmas. I had a doll one time. It was headless.
So the bottom line is, we're 6 months out from Christmas. It's not too late to start a Christmas spending plan, right? That's what I'm hearing.
It's the time right now to start saving, because if you don't, you're going to whip out the plastic and you're going to hate yourself in January when those bills come in.
So like you said, John, find out what you spent last Christmas and start, and then you know how much you need to save each and every month.
Absolutely. And, you know, and the most important thing to remember is, why do we celebrate Christmas in the first place? It's the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, in the busyness of the Christmas season, it takes an intentional effort to focus on what the true meaning of Christmas is. And it takes an intentional effort to have a spirit that's ready to worship the Christ of Christmas. So the important thing is to prayerfully make a commitment not to go one penny in debt this coming Christmas season. And the only gift that anybody really needs at Christmas is baby Jesus.
Yeah, you know, John, sometimes we all lose sight of the real meaning of the season. You know, Christmas can be a stressful time. So why add to the stress by going into debt? If you haven't already began to save for Christmas, why don't you do something today, like put together your Christmas spending plan. Calculate just how much you're going to plan on spending. That includes gifts, travel, food, decorations. Divide the total by 6, and then you're going to get an idea just how much money you need to put away each and every month. Just think how happy you will be come January when that credit card statement arrives and there are no Christmas expenses on it. Now, if you'd like a copy of this show, we have it for you on demand. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down, click on the word podcast. And before we leave you today, let's get to some of the emails that we received this week. John and Evelyn, I've heard you say pay debts off smallest to largest. However, one of my larger debt is a credit card bill with 20% interest, whereas a couple of my smaller debts range from 2 to 5% interest. Should I make an exception in this case and knock out the credit card, the big one, first?
Well, the reason that we recommend paying off the smallest first is because for most people, it's pretty hard work to get out of debt and to pay off each of these debts. And we need to have the encouragement of having a success. And so if you start with the smallest one first, not with regard to the amount of interest, but just the smallest debt that's owed, and you pay that off, then you'll have some success. And that gives you a little bit of money to roll into the next one to pay it off. You know, you add that from the first one to the second one, you pay that off, and then you roll it to the third one.
And I agree with you, John. It's important for people to see success. But after they get to a point where they're very disciplined about paying it off and they've had some success under their belt, then they may want to tackle the one with the highest interest rate just to get rid of that high interest rate after they've proven to themselves that they can stick to it and do it.
Yeah, but I would make sure that I've paid off two or three or four.
Definitely, yeah.
Prior. And the other thing that is so good about doing that is if they then jump to that higher interest rate, then they've got a pretty good snowball already built to start throwing at that debt and adding what they were paying as a minimum payment.
Yes.
Okay, here's another question we received this week. John and Evelyn, I'm 26 years old. My job offers a 401k and matches every 50 cents. How much should I contribute each paycheck? My husband also works for the same company, so how much should he contribute?
If you're 26 and you're starting to save for your retirement now, that's a fabulous position to be in because you've got a lot of time to let that money grow for you. So you should take advantage of every penny that your employer is going to match.
Yeah, I would probably try to be consistent in saving at least 10% of your income. So that means you're going to get another 5%. So the total that you would be saving is 15%. It's a really unusual situation where an employer will match 50% with no cap on it. That's an unbelievable situation. And I would take advantage of that as much as I could while at the same time maintaining a good budget and making sure that you're not shorting yourself in other areas of your budget categories.
And here's our final question today. My husband and I are looking into buying a larger home, mostly because we want a 3-car garage. Is that a valid reason to buy a new house?
Well, the big question is, do you really need a 3-car garage? If you don't really need it, I wouldn't be buying a more expensive house just to get a 3-car garage. Instead, I'd focus on paying off the mortgage. The less debt that you have, the better you'll be able to weather any kind of a downturn in the economy.
And maybe you just need to get rid of some of your junk so you don't really need the 3-car garage, right?
John and Evelyn, thanks as always. Now, if you have a question you would like John and Evelyn's advice on maybe a financial situation you're in, send your questions to ask@compasscatholic.org. That's ask@compasscatholic.org. For John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for listening. And remember, we have a brand new podcast that we post each and every Wednesday, bright and early. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down on the homepage, click on the button that says podcast. And not only will you find our most current podcast, but you'll find an archive of every show that we've ever done. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tours Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.